There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 58. And on episode 58, we are going to preview the college basketball season. And in order to do so, we're going to have a reoccurring guest come on. You can find him on Barstool Sports as their lead college basketball writer. He's on Twitter at Barstool Regs. He also is a co-host on the Fundamentally Sound podcast with Ben Burst. Tons of good stuff going there. Regs, how are we doing tonight?
Good, man. Just watching the end of this Minnesota-Providence game, getting ready. You know, a couple TVs actually going on. Michigan, Central Michigan's a good one. So just getting ready in the swing of the season, obviously.
So with this little kind of preseason slash it does count early season, how's the first few days going for you? Anything really shocking besides, like, Indiana just looking horrific?
I mean, nothing overly shocking just because – it's tough to, like, we haven't seen a lot of great games yet either. Like, this week, really, we start to see good games. And then, to me, next week is really when it's easy to start, at least for me, easy to start picking games and finding who, you know, what the mismatches are, what the advantages are. Like, I always do super well from a betting standpoint during the holiday tournaments, like Maui, Battle for Atlantis. I don't know why, but I just, like, that's when it all kind of clicks. Just see each team like three times. There's usually one decent game that they've played. But, yeah, I mean, nothing shocking. Like, everyone's, I mean, the one thing that everyone will point at, and it's true, is the fact that A&M beat West Virginia by, you know, 30, being very shorthanded.
Yeah, they beat them down pretty good, surprisingly. You mentioned those, like, Maui and Atlantis and everything. What's your favorite holiday tournament?
Like, I've always been a Maui guy just because it's always been the one. But, like, Battle for Atlantis has been better the last couple years in Maui in terms of just – and it's all luck because, you know, you schedule a little bit out in advance. You don't really know. And they've just gotten lucky that they've had kind of better teams that year end up there. But, I mean, this year the PK-80 is going to be really fun to watch just because that's a new one and, you know, obviously a ton of big names there. But it's still, like, I don't know. There's just something about Maui and, like the competition's kind of been down in Maui, but it's still, like, you know, that 2 o'clock start, you know, it's always just been the one.
Yeah. It's like in a small gym. So it kind of gives you that little high school atmosphere. It's something about it. It is totally different. All right, let's get into the season preview. Every year there's, you know, there's transfers, there's the freshmen, there's, you know, guys that might have been eighth or ninth men on rosters last year. Now they're going to have a big impact. What are some of the new faces? It could be new places, same places that we're going to really jump on the scene this year that we really didn't pay attention to in the past.
So I'm going to avoid the big ones. Obviously, everybody knows Marvin Bagley, you know, DeAndre Ayton, Mo Bamba. Everyone knows those. We'll avoid that. Out in Oregon, there's two. Troy Brown, who's a freshman, who's kind of been overlooked in terms of the best freshman in the country. Like, he was the top 15 recruit in All-American. They're going to run the offense through him. He's got the Dylan Brooks in him in the sense of, like, a, you know, he's like a 6'7" point forward. Now, I'm not necessarily comparing his game to Dylan Brooks, but just the fact of, you know, it's a bigger guy that they can really run the offense through. And then they have a transfer, Elijah Stort from New Mexico, who can just really score. I think he averaged 18 per game last year. So those two guys over there at, Elijah Brown, Elijah Stort at USC. Elijah Brown, So those two guys at Oregon are kind of ones to keep an eye on. You know, Michigan, they have two transfers, Charles Matthews from Kentucky, who sat out last year, and then Jaron Simpson, who's a point guard from Ohio University. It's a grad transfer. Again, when you're talking about filling in for, like, Derek Walton and Zach Irvin, those are two guys, and DJ Wilson, those are two guys that kind of step up. And I like Michigan this year. Some other guys that are, kind of transfers. There's always some that come up, like, conference time. You're like, oh, yeah, that guy, like, I forgot about him. You know, a guy like James Daniel at Tennessee, who was the leading scorer, like, when he was at Howard. He's a guy that, you know, will come in the SEC and, like, he'll be, like, 12th in the SEC in scoring. And you're like, where the hell did this guy come from? So it's just don't be surprised when someone like that steps up eventually. But yeah, I think those names are the ones. And then obviously in terms of like jumps from like eighth to ninth man and up to someone, again, it's hard to tell this early in the season because you're still trying to figure out rotations. There will be some people like that. Like, you know, like Notre Dame always has a guy like Temple Gibbs, I think is going to be it this year. They always have a guy that just makes that jump year after year. But you know, to me, it's out in Oregon. Like I really like Troy Brown. I think they're a little under the radar.
That's good to hear that they're rebuilding because they didn't have some big boys leave town last year. So
yeah.
Good to hear. Let's get right into the conferences. We're gonna hit the big power conferences and sprinkle in some mid majors after that, which as we talked last year, even mid majors aren't quite mid majors anymore. So it's a little different. But let's kick it off with the ACC. You have your perennial powerhouses in there like Duke and Carolina and Louisville and Notre Dame is going to be good and so on and so forth. Everybody knows these names. Who's the front runner in the ACC in your opinion this year?
I mean, it's Duke. Like anyone who says otherwise is just trying to make a bold statement. So if it happens, they can yell, I told you so. But like if you're not picking Duke to win the ACC right now, you're just trying to make a take to stand out. Because they're the clear best team in the conference. They're the clear – and I'm not saying, like, you know, you can pick, like, Miami to say, oh, they're going to win the ACC, but it's because of, like, conference imbalance schedule or something like that. Or say, like, well, everyone's picking Duke, so I'm going to be a contrarian. But, yeah, I mean, Duke's the front runner. Like, there's a reason they're number one in the country. And then after them, Miami, too. I think their backcourt of Bruce Brown and Lonnie Walker one of the five best in the country, possibly. And Jim Larrañaga coaching guards, and they have a small ball lineup this year. Jim Larrañaga coaching guards is one of the best guard coaches in America. So I like them a lot. I think they're a top 10 team. And then after that, it's kind of open. Like, you know, I think Louisville's still like a third best team in the country. I know they struggled against George Mason and everything going on there, but you know, like this is still a team that everyone kind of had like 10 to 15 before Brian Bowen committed, and then they were like top six, top eight. And then when everything else happened, like they kind of fell back down to the 12 to 20 range. So it's like they're still there. You know, Notre Dame always finishes in the top four. It's just what they do. So I think that's your top four. I'm not high in Carolina this year, but I think you're looking at, you know, Duke kind of in a tier by itself. And then, you know, I'd throw Carolina in that next tier, but I don't necessarily love it. But yeah, Miami. Louisville and Notre Dame.
Okay. Who would be your surprise team, I should say? Because there's always, you know, I think in the years past, like Miami kept, you know, hanging around surprising teams, and now they're going to be, you said it, possibly a top four. If one team, like, made a good run, even if it's just in the ACC tournament, which team wouldn't surprise you if they did it, basically?
Virginia Tech. I think they're still flying a little under the radar. I know, like, a lot of people kind of picked them fifth or sixth. I think they're, you know, they wouldn't shock me if they make a run in the ACC tournament. They have guys that can really score the ball. They have some NBA talent. They get some guys back, like Chris Clark, that, you know, that should help defensively. So, you know, I like them. You know, I think Buzz Williams is a good coach. So, you know, you're not at a, quote, coaching disadvantage, especially in a league that's just deep with good coaches. So, yeah, I think it would not shock me if Virginia Tech does something.
Okay. Let's move on to the Big Ten, a conference that is near and dear to my fandom. Wisconsin, they held on last year, even though it got a little interesting for a while there. They did what everybody expected them to do. But this year, I think it's much, much tighter, and I don't even think they're the favorites because I know where you're going with this one. What do you see breaking down in the Big Ten this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's like Michigan State is it's similar to the ACC. Like Michigan State is the clear number one team in the Big Ten, possibly number one team in the country. So it's them, and then a jump to everybody else. And I think the second best team in the country in the conference is Minnesota, who I'm watching right now. They're up 14 at Providence, and you know, they have one of the best defenders in the country in Reggie Lynch. They have a lot of depth. They have a lot of balance. Like Jordan Murphy can, you know, he scored 35 in the first game. I forget what he's at right now. I haven't looked, but he's just absolutely dominated Providence all game. You know, Amir Coffey, they have Isaiah Washington. Nate Mason is a good point guard. I like him to be a little bit more efficient, especially with shooting. But, you know, there's, to me, it's like them at that too. But again, it's a big jump from Michigan State to the next tier.
Okay. Outside of like your Wisconsin's, Michigan State, you mentioned Minnesota. You said Michigan will probably be better with their adjustments. Northwestern made, you know, pushes. Who's one of the, you know, bottom tier teams that could make a run in this this conference?
I'd go Illinois if you're talking bottom tier. I'd go Wisconsin because I think they're kind of bottom tier this year in terms of, like, you know, I have Wisconsin like 7th or 8th in the conference. But, you know, if you're throwing them up there, you know, you're throwing Maryland up there. I think it's Illinois. I think Brad Underwood's a top 15 coach in America. Again, speaking of guards, he has three guards to work with, and we've seen what he's done with guards at, you know, Stephen F. Austin and last year with Juwan Evans. You know, he excels there, and he has that with Mark Smith, who is Mr. Basketball in Illinois, Mark Allstock, who is a grad transfer, and Tajon Lucas, who's a sophomore. So, yeah, I think, again, it's a long shot, but I think that if you're talking about a team that, you know, maybe wins two games in the Big Ten tournament or something like that, gets to the semis, I think Illinois has that capability.
Cool. Let's go to the SEC, always known as a football conference, but each year they seem to get more and more, you know, talent coming through there in the basketball area. And you can tell this year, everything I've been reading, and obviously you know way more than I do, that it's pretty deep this year. So what are we looking at in the SEC besides Kentucky as normal?
Yeah, so, you know, I don't even think it's like Kentucky as normal this year.
That's great to hear.
And I felt that way, you know, even before the first two games of the season. Like, you know, I still pick Kentucky to win it just because I'll roll with the most talent, which is what they have. But, you know, Florida this year is a borderline top 10 team. Alabama, assuming Colin Sexton's going to play the entire year, they have enough talent to get up there. Texas A&M, we saw what they've done, where what they did to West Virginia, and that was without their starting point guard and without their best player in Robert Williams and J.J. Caldwell. You know, and then you get into like Arkansas, who is an NCAA tournament team who probably should have beat, honestly, probably should have beat North Carolina last year in that round of 32 game. You know, they're there this year. Missouri has all this young talent. So it's deep, man. Like, I don't think it's Kentucky and everyone else. I think there's about, you know, four or five teams that are all kind of very similar. Kentucky's one of them, obviously, but it's deep.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Missouri. That's one of the big, you know, talking points, and people are doing their previews for the SEC. And I was curious, this young talent you're speaking of, do you think it's – young's one thing and talent is one thing. Is it good enough talent to actually make a run, basically?
I mean, you never know, just because I hate saying yes, they can make – I mean, they can make a run, but it's all based on matchups. And, like, we don't know – what that's going to look like until, you know, March, but, you know, it's there. Like, Michael Porter Jr. can play with anybody in the country. They're deep. You know, Jontay Porter's a good player. Jeremiah Tillen's a good freshman. So, like, yes, it's there. You know, can they make a run? I think so. I just, you know, I'm not comfortable saying there's somewhere between a round of 32 team and a second weekend team.
Okay. That's good, though, for their age. It's not bad at
all. Yeah, yeah.
Let's go to the Big 12, or I should say the Kansas's conference. It's been a year-in and year-out thing, even though there's teams that seem to make pushes for it. Like, they're getting so close, and then Kansas still finds a way to step on the gas and win yet another conference championship. Is this Kansas's year again?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's and like I, you know, I think it doesn't get talked about enough what they do in the Big 12, because the last, what, 4 years, they're playing a round robin schedule, meaning the best team is winning because they're playing everybody home and home. So, you know, West Virginia is still going to give them fits like they always do. TCU's improved, but man, I like that Kansas team a lot, especially, you know, like you mentioned, the backcourt. Get Malik Newman in there. You know, you still have Devontae Graham. You know, Sfai Mikhailiuk, I should say. And then, you know, yeah, it's Kansas's.
Who's the second best team in the Big 12?
I think it's still West Virginia. Like, they get Issa Ahmad back after the first semester. Javon Carter, like, I'm not going to overreact to a game in Germany against a top 25 team where, you know, neither team's at full strength or anything like that. So I still think it's, you know, I still think it's still West Virginia.
And it's good you said that, because we've seen it in college basketball year in and year out that it doesn't really matter how you start, it's how you finish. And if the talent's there, they're going to run it out. And you put a bunch of kids in Germany for an opening game, you never know what you're going to get out of them. So there's a lot to be said about that. Let's go to the AAC. This is a very interesting conference year in and year out. What are we looking at here?
In the AAC? It's top heavy. It's Cincinnati and Wichita State. You know, that's big that they get Wichita State. Then it's a little bit of a jump to like the SMU and UCF. But it's a question mark, man. Like, that middle of the pack is supposedly improved. And then, you know, Tulsa loses the first game of the year to Lamar. Like, that can't happen. This conference needs that middle of the pack to get better, including UConn. Like, UConn cannot just keep being irrelevant, which they are. Like, they've just been irrelevant in the conference and on a national landscape. Like, yeah, they had the run to the title in 2014, but that's the aberration. Like, it's very much the aberration to what UConn's been. And they're supposed to be the flag bearer for this conference. And until they become UConn again, I don't think that this conference will be a true, you know, Power 7 conference.
And this could be a very, very easy question, but what is like the major problem with UConn? Is just they're not getting people to come there anymore? Is it Kevin Ollie? Like, what's the issue?
Kevin Ollie's a terrible coach. Like, he's one of the worst. Like, who has he developed as a head coach? Like, you heard all this stuff about him as an assistant coach developing players. Who has he developed as a head coach? You can mark up injuries, but they haven't been injured every year. Where is this, you know, his offensive scheme's atrocious. It's, you know, I'm pretty sure I could find a good handful of people that I know that just watch a bunch of basketball that could put together a better offensive system than him. Like, he's a great defensive coach, but he's easily the worst coach to ever win a national title. It'll take a lot for that to not be him anymore. People love hanging on to that, but, you know, at the same time, people that aren't Kevin Ollie fans will say he won it because Shabazz Napier pretty much just said, you know, fuck it, I'm not listening to you. I'm putting my team on my back, and we're doing what we have, which I've heard those stories that kind of happened. Like, there was a mutiny, and it was him going, hey, we learned this from Kemba. We can do this by ourselves. And other people that don't like him will say, you know, he won with Calhoun's players. So it's an important year or two for him. Like, you know, me personally, if I'm a UConn fan, I'd like to see them get someone else in there. But, you know, it's UConn, and they, you know, he's one of their own. So, you know, they kind of love that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is this like do or die season, or is they still kind of playing with kid gloves with him?
I mean, for me, it should be. Like, if they miss the tournament again, how do you keep him around? If you're this program, and, you know, they've been one of the 10 best programs in the country for the last decade, or really probably since like 2000. So you're talking two decades here now. You know, at some point, you have to be that program. Like, you can't just rely on, well, we got hot in 2014 and won a title. He should have been gone after last year, just because I've never seen the development. I just don't think he's that good of a coach. I think they're better out there, but I also don't know what UConn's going to get. Like, we've never seen a coaching search at UConn. Like, it was Calhoun for 50 years, and then him just saying, okay, well, now it's Kevin Ollie. So, you know, it's not like Storrs, Connecticut is the easiest place in the world to, you know, to go to. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's cold. It's dreary. It's, you know, it's stores. It's not a vacation spot. It's not, you know, something like that. So I don't know who they'll get. I'm intrigued. Like, I'm very intrigued to see them go through a coaching search. So I, you know, but it has to be do or die. I just don't know how UConn fans can sit there and really be happy with Kevin Ollie.
Yeah. Last year, 16 and 17 overall is not UConn style. Let's go into the Big East, a conference that year in and year out, even with the transformations it's made, it's like when FS1 says we got Big East basketball, it's usually a great watch. Like, it's good stuff to watch. So what are we looking at this year? Because they send, what, six, seven, eight teams to the tournament almost yearly for the most part.
Yeah, it's the second best conference in America, I think. You know, they have eight teams that all have a shot at making the tournament this year. St. John's has the talent. Can Chris Mullen, you know, coach it up? Villanova, who is a top five team in the country. Xavier and Seton Hall, I have as two top 15 teams in the country. I mean, this conference is so deep that Butler might be the eighth best team.
Wow.
Right, right. So it's like, you just don't expect that. But who knows? Like, it's a it's deep. And, I think there's a clear top four. I think there's a clear one in Nova. I think it's a fairly clear two and three in Xavier and Seton Hall, however you like them. Clear four in Providence. And then five through eight are wide open. And then it's DePaul and Georgetown who just, you know, aren't good. So I'm really intrigued because this game, this conference, again, round robin, we get to see everybody play home and home. And there's not going to be that many bad games in the Big East this year.
Yeah, and I don't want to keep bringing up every bad team, but we just talked about UConn. Georgetown's been in a funk lately, too. How long are they going to be able to put up with that consistency in a conference or a team that expects to win in basketball?
Well, I mean, we saw him get rid of John Thompson III, but until John Thompson Jr. dies, like, it's just kind of be what it is. Like, kind of hard to get rid of him as a program or you know, get his voice out as a program when you have a $25 million building in his name that is in its first year this year. Kind of hard to get around that. So,
yeah,
you know, big yeah, problem. So, you know, who knows? Like, you give Ewing a chance, maybe he excels. But until, you know, John Thompson Sr. dies, it's just kind of hard to ignore his voice.
Makes sense. Now let's wrap up the big power conference.
And I know that's a very dark statement.
No, it's fine. Everybody knows what you're trying to say there. It's no biggie. Pac-12, you already mentioned Oregon reloading. Arizona's always in the mix. Yeah. What are we looking for? No Lonzo Ball in town. So,
yeah, so it's a top four for me, and then just a whole bunch of nothing and question marks the rest of the conference. You know, Arizona, top four team in the country, really good. Alonzo Trier is a National Player of the Year candidate. DeAndre Ayton might be a National Player of the Year candidate, top five pick. I like them a lot. You know, they have a strong freshman class, a good experience returning. You know, that I know Parker Jackson Cartwright catches a lot of heat. I give him a little bit of heat too for even like turning the ball over a lot, but he's a senior point guard. Like I mentioned, Trier. Sean Miller, like, yes, he did get absolutely outcoached by Chris Mack last year, so that's what people remember, and all the, you know, Elite Eight fails, but he's still a great coach. And after that, you know, I like USC a lot, man. I think USC, even with D'Anthony Melton sitting out right now due to eligibility questions, they're deep enough to make a Final Four. Like, I have them top six in the country right now. I just put up my top 25. I do mine every Monday as well on my blog, and I had them six. So it's like I really like this USC team, man. Like, you get Derek Thornton in there as coming off the bench as a backup point guard. Like, have NBA talent, a ton of height. You can get real versatile with your rotations and your lineup. Like, Benny Boatwright on the wing is a 6'11 wing. You just don't see that too often in college basketball, and he can really shoot the ball. You know, Chimezie Metu is NBA talent good. Elijah Stewart, Jordan McLaughlin. Like, I just like them a lot. And like, you know, and kind of like a lot of pools I've been in, I took them as like my, you know, as a team, just because I think that a little under the radar just because people don't think USC basketball. And then after that, you have UCLA and Oregon as, you know, somewhere between, you know, 16 and 30 type teams. So, but after that, you know, I don't know what team makes a jump. Like, somebody has to jump up and be that fifth team. I think Stanford could do it with Reed Travis, who's one of the more underrated players in the country, as long as he's healthy. You know, can Colorado figure something out? Can Oregon State, they might be able to put something together. But to me, that conference really needs a fifth team to emerge. Like, it's not a good look if they only send four teams and it's four, you know, fringe top 25 teams.
Yeah, when you title yourself the Conference of Champions, you might want to go up with some talent. But the USC thing, that's good to hear, because in years past, when we've done the previews with you, or just I've read previews before that, it's always been like USC's got all this talent. Now can they do it? And they just don't do it. So it's good to hear that there actually looks like it might actually happen this year.
Well, and this is the first year, like, we've never seen a USC team this talented. Like, we just haven't. So it's this is something different. We haven't seen anything like this. And definitely, you know, I'm confident in saying it's in my lifetime, even the OJ Mayo years, we haven't seen something like this.
Well, that's good to hear, because OJ Mayo teams were good. So you had the Big East, the second strongest conference. Was it the ACC as your top conference in basketball?
Yeah, I think it's ACC is the top. When you look at number of title contenders there, you know, it is still deep. That, you know, they'll still send eight teams or something like that into the tournament too. So I think it's the.
Let's talk about some mid-major teams. You got Gonzaga with their Final Four run. They did their thing. They're looking, you know, like Gonzaga. And they got St. Mary's getting better and better. Preseason top 25 school. People expect them to take an even bigger jump. So they're not really mid-majors anymore. You got Monmouth, who's been coming on, and some other programs. What are some of the teams, get like a couple teams that we're looking at mid-major-wise this year to really make a run and scare some teams?
Yeah, so I really liked that Yale team until we found out that Mekhi Mason was hurt again, and they lost the other kid's skipping my name, but he was going to be a starter as well. Jordan Bruner, I think his name is. But Mekhi Mason is a guy that, you know, we saw what he did against Baylor. We saw what he did against Duke in the NCAA tournament 2 years ago. Missed last year with a stress fracture, out this year for what looks like a couple months. If he can ever be healthy this year, I like that Yale team a lot. College of Charleston, who's playing Wichita State tonight, I think they might be the best mid-major out there. If not, they're in the top five. Vermont, we saw what happened with them at Kentucky yesterday. That wasn't a fluke. Like, Vermont's that good. Trayvon Haynes can play almost anywhere in the country. Anthony Lamb can play almost anywhere in the country. John Becker is who I thought Georgetown should have hired if they could have went outside of the John Thompson coaching tree. Like, I really, really like that Vermont team. You know, I like Bucknell and Belmont are two other teams to kind of keep an eye on. I don't necessarily consider these guys a mid-major either, but Nevada and San Diego State and Boise State and Wyoming, the top four out in the Mountain West this year, is going to be a lot of fun to watch. But again, I think they're kind of in that in-between land of like day 10 of not being a mid-major, but people still call them mid-majors. You know, like tonight at 11:30 Eastern, Nevada's hosting Rhode Island. Like, people are saying like, oh, that's a great mid-major game. And it's like, no, that's just two really good, like, fringe top 25 teams. Would not shock me if both end up in the top 25 at some point this year. So, but if you're talking true mid-majors, like, you know, Yale and Harvard and the Ivy, even Princeton, like I said, Charleston, Bucknell, Belmont, Vermont. And my guys out west, Grand Canyon, man, Dan Marley coach team, they've never finished third in the WAC, and this is their first year eligible for the postseason. So, and they play a tough non-conference. So I'd keep an eye on those teams if you're looking for kind of that 12 to 15 seed team.
It's been pretty crazy watching what Musselman's done there at Nevada. They've really turned that program. I mean, it's pretty impressive. Now, speaking of the Mountain West there, because you named those four teams off, they're really, really good. In years past, when you look at like St. Mary's and Gonzaga and the West Coast together, you almost had to have the automatic bid. Even if they were both good, one might sneak in. Mountain West-wise, how many could possibly get in, or is it really you have to win it all and then hope, basically?
So I think they can get two in this year, just because they play, you know, they play a little bit better schedule than like the WCC and things like that. So, you know, I think you're looking at like Nevada and San Diego State would be my two picks to get in. But, you know, let's say, you know, any combination of those four, I would not be surprised to see two bids come from there.
Okay. We kind of already mentioned new faces, new places and whatnot, but are there any players that aren't on the radar right now that you expect to be on the radar come season's end?
Two guys who missed their season openers, Rob Gray from Houston and Jalen Adams from St. Bonaventure, two guys that I think could pop up on a, you know, like a third team All-American or something like that. Man, I'm trying to think of some other, like, you know, the guy that I really like this year is Dante DiVincenzo from Villanova. I think he kind of makes that jump. You know, your Wisconsin guys, I like Dimitrik Trice a lot. I think he can kind of be – he's not going to blow anybody away with numbers-wise, but I think he's just kind of like that consistent point guard that Wisconsin usually has. Carson Edwards from Purdue, I think he might end up being their best player when it's all said and done. Over at Maryland, I think Kevin Herter is a guy that has the potential to pull a Luke Kennard because he's known for being a shooter, but really he's a playmaker. Even when he's not shooting the ball, like, he's an excellent passer, so he kind of has that like Kennard tendency in that sense. So I think those are kind of some guys that could break out this year.
Okay. Who are your top, say, three or four player of the year candidates, and who do you have winning it come season's end?
So I picked Jalen Brunson to win it in my preview. It's contrarian, but, you know, I think Brunson – I mean, I don't think – Brunson was better than Josh Hart last year in the Big East. The question was it because teams were taking away Josh Hart, or was it the development of Brunson, or, you know, what I think it was just kind of a combination of both. I think he, you know, he has the capability to be the guy. He's probably the smartest player in college basketball, and he's been that way just because of his dad, Rick Brunson. So I picked him. The obvious favorite's Miles Bridges. Like, he's the best player in college basketball. You know, and then I mentioned like Trier. I think Marvin Bagley and Grayson Allen, one of those two could be in there. Kind of a sneaky picks like Trayvon Blewett. Like, he might average like 24 a game this year. So I think you're kind of looking at that group. And there's going to be somebody like Devontae Graham. He might be in there. There's going to be somebody like that always ends up happening that's off the radar, like Frank Mason, that ends up winning this thing. So we'll see, you know, at the end of like next week, there'll be a name on – you'll see a name pop up, and you're like, all right, this is the one to kind of keep the eye on.
Is Grayson Allen finally going to be leaving Duke after this year?
Yeah, so like he's not even the – I do the how the hell are they in college team every year.
Yeah.
And like, he wasn't even the first three or four I thought of. Like, he's definitely on the team. But like Jalen West, and I know like Jalen West is a really like college basketball junkie type name because he's at Northwestern State. It's his seventh year of college basketball.
Oh my goodness.
And it's like, it's due to injury. So like, I feel bad making fun of him, but it's like the dude's been in college forever. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head who are some other names out there. I think I had Devontae Graham out there because, like, he's been at Kansas for a while. I'm pulling up the list here of just some of the other names that really, really stuck out to me this year. I'm trying to find it here. So he's gone, but, yeah, dude, like, there are some other guys that have been in college. Connor Frankamp, that's who I was thinking of, from Wichita State, the transfer from Kansas. Grayson Allen's going to catch a lot of heat for being in college forever, but there are some dudes that have been in college longer than him.
It's just like Duke always has that guy. He's like their Wojo right now. I'm just going to stick around forever. Yep. So it sticks out. Who's your surprise team that's not going to make the tournament?
I honestly have no idea. Like, I know it's a cop-out.
It's not a bad thing.
Like I keep looking at it, and it's like you're not the first person to ask me this question. They're like, well, who in the top 25 is not going to make the tournament? I'm like, well, I don't know, because I wouldn't rank them in the top 25 if I thought so. So,
true.
Right. So it's like, I just don't know. Like, there's going to be a team. Like, there's going to be a team, and I can't figure out who it is. You know, I'm thinking, is there somebody like in the 30 to 40 range that everyone's talking about that might not make it? But I honestly have no idea, because like I said, if I thought there was somebody, I wouldn't rank him in the top 25.
Yeah, that's actually one of the better answers I've heard when I've heard people ask that question, is if I wouldn't have ranked him if I did.
Right.
Like, that's why, like, even in like football, you say, why are we doing rankings preseason? It's the same thing in basketball, in any sport. We're ranking them because they're supposed to be the best.
Right. So, like, they're like, well, you're not high. Like Purdue. Like, Purdue's probably the one team that I don't have in the top 25 that a lot of people do. Well, I still think they're going to make the tournament. I just don't think they're one of the 25 best teams in the country. So it's like, I can't even think of a team that I'm like, oh, no, like, they're definitely not making it.
That's funny. No, that's well said. No, I've never heard that answer. It's so true. Okay, then who's your final four prediction and your champion in San Antonio this year?
So I think it's going to be a little weird in the final four. Like, it's very open this year in college basketball. I think you see two, like, names that everyone's kind of talking about now. What two of those? I'm not quite sure, obviously. I'm going to go Villanova and Michigan State will be my two picks for those teams. And then I think you see a kind of a tier two, tier three type team. To me, it's like Miami or USC. And then I think you see a team like a six seed end up making the tournament. Like, that would not, or the final four, that would not shock me this year. And I also think my other, like, quote, hot take is I think you'll see a coach finally, or a team finally, get over the hump, whether it's Mike Bray, whether it's Sean Miller, you know, one of those teams, one of those coaches are finally going to break through. So I'll go a final four of, and these are, I do not think these are the four best teams. I just think something weird is going to happen. So I'll go Villanova, Michigan State. I'll go USC and Miami.
Michigan State winning it.
I got Villanova over Michigan State.
Villanova, your winner. I like that.
Yeah.
Be a good game. All right, let's ask a couple other questions that aren't really more preview stuff, but everybody knows the bombshell that dropped, that kind of, when you thought you had a couple more weeks to relax before the season started, really got you a little busy.
Yeah.
Adidas got in some trouble with Louisville, Arizona, and others. What's the latest and greatest coming out of that whole scandal?
Honestly, no idea, and no one does. Like, anybody who says they have some sort of scoop is a liar. Like, they're just saying it to make noise out of their mouth. The FBI investigated for 2.5 years without anybody knowing, and now all of a sudden people have sources in the FBI?
Like, exactly.
Give me a damn break. Like, you haven't talked to anybody. I forget who it was. There was some national guy. I forget who it was. I don't want to put it pinning on the wrong guy. I thought it was Dan Wetzel, but I might be wrong there. And it was like 5 weeks ago, and the tweet was a hearing that more news will be coming out. We'll hear something within 2 weeks about other teams. Well, we haven't heard anything, because guess what? You talked to nobody. You just made an assumption, or you talked to some like assistant coach being like, yeah, we're all nervous. Well, something's going to happen. Like, no, man, like, nobody knows. Like, the FBI isn't, it's a federal investigation. They don't give a damn about college basketball. They don't give a damn about the NCAA. They don't give a damn about, like, anything besides trying this federal investigation. So in terms of, like, what's going on, I have no idea. No, nobody does. The indictment happened, and I believe it's next week that more will happen in terms of, like, courtrooms and everything like that. I believe it's next week. So, but that's the only thing we know. Like, we don't know who else is being investigated. We don't know what people know. We don't know what's going on. So right now it's just see and wait. Like, that's what we're seeing. That's what's happening with players. Like, they're just sitting out because there's eligibility question because nobody knows.
Yeah. Cause it was wild. Like, everything happened for like 3 days. It was just all the buzz. And then it was just kind of, you know, minus the Patino and the Louisville kind of suing each other. It got really, really quiet.
Right.
And at that point, cause we all know, like, I'm not going to say dirty is not the right word, but it might be. Almost everything in college sports has something that shouldn't be done, basically.
Everybody
is guilty of something.
Yeah, everybody quote cheats, even though it's not cheating. Like, this is just that's the way the, you know what? It's the way college is. It's just,
it's a business.
I mean, it's
what they do.
Not everyone's getting $100,000, but everyone's getting something.
If you had to make a guess, what's the next, let's say, brand that gets in trouble? Because there's Nike, there's Under Armour, there's all of them. What's the next one? I'm guessing Nike, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, just because the guy had the guy used to work at Nike that was indicted, so maybe there. I mean, yeah, it's the biggest name, so I guess that. And there's only, like you said, there's limited options. It's them or Under Armour.
Yeah,
like, you know, Reebok's not really out there. You know, there really aren't any other sports or any other brands out there. So, I you know, it's a 50-50 guess. If someone else gets busted, I'll guess Nike.
Yeah, it makes sense. A couple others. What as a basketball junkie that you are, what was your, you know, first impression when they announced no 24 hours tournament?
It sucked. Like, give me daytime betting. Like, I love daytime games. They're the best. Like, we need a conference to pull a MAC, like MAC football, where they just dominate weekday, like weeknight games. We need one conference to play a weekday game, like one per week at least, or two per week, where every team in the conference plays one at home, one on road. And I think we'd be fine with that. Like, it's an extra, you know, you're talking what, the 14 team conference, extra 28 games.
That'd be good.
So it just sucked, man. Like, I always looked forward to it. You know, I always liked like the Manhattan playing at 7 a.m. or something crazy like that. So, you know, unfortunately, I understand it. You know, people weren't tuning into that. Like, people liked the concept of it, but people weren't tuning in. So I understand it, but it sucks.
Yeah. And last question for you. Tell us a little about your Grand Canyon subject matter and kind of you're following the whole year of them. What are you kind of doing with this?
Yeah, so it's the way that I've kind of talked about it. It's Friday Night Lights with worse writing. Because like I'm following the team obviously, but I'm trying to capture it from the team aspect. Like I talked to somebody else in the athletic department who put together Midnight Madness, so like kind of their story with the team. You know, I'll be talking to fans and catching their sides of the story. So it's more journal entry. You know, the first couple ones were long. This last one was like a video that was put together. So it's a little bit of everything. So it's their first year eligible for the postseason. They have a crazy, crazy home court advantage, like crazy schedule. Like they hosted Louisville. You know, this year they're playing Illinois, St. John's, Louisville. So, you know, they challenge themselves. They're good too. And they're coached by Dan Marley. So it's a name that, you know, everyone our age remembers and knows. So, you know, I just kind of clicked that, hey, this could be a cool thing to kind of follow along because, you know, it's Northern Kentucky last year made the tournament for their first year eligible, but it was kind of a surprise. Like they were the 4 seed in the Horizon League. Not like they were, you know, coming in with a whole lot of hype. Grand Canyon is coming in with a decent amount of hype in terms of mid-majors. So it just kind of clicked. And so, yeah, just kind of following them and usually once a week putting together something, something on them.
Well, no, it sounds awesome. When I saw the concept, I was a big fan of that. It's just cool seeing that, you know, the teams aren't showcased all the time. So
right.
A really cool idea. Well, Rex, I appreciate it. We ran through all of that and got a lot of good info in there. So really, really good stuff. I appreciate you for joining me again. We'll try to do a little March Madness talk like last year when that rolls around.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man.
Check out his work. Like you said, he's on Barstool. He's got like almost at least one or multiple articles a day, it seems like these days. He's cranking them out. You can find him on Twitter at Barstool Regs, R-E-A-G-S. And check out his podcast, Fundamentally Sound. It's with him and Ben Brust, a former Wisconsin Badger basketball player. Really good stuff they have going there. And I'm not just saying that because I'm biased, but it is a really, really good college basketball podcast. So check all that out. But again, Regs, thanks for joining me, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, man.
Okay. Everybody, this is Bench with Bubba, episode 58, college basketball preview. We'll catch you guys later.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.